You're listening to The Stack, first broadcast on the 14th of June 2014 on Monocle 24.
Super yachts and desirable dinghies, coral reefs or global shipping, from trade winds to majestic moorings. One corner of the newsstand has an endless appetite for the open seas. All hands on deck for this 94th edition of The Stack. Today, we step aboard the SS Stack and set sail across the oceans. We take a look at the nautical print offering to find out what it is about the sea that captivates so many readers. Maritime affairs from Germany or tasteful ship-shape interiors from Italy, we discover a wealth of editorial and commercial opportunities. Summertime pleasures abound as we take a look around the Monocle Summer Fair and browse the Mag Culture stand.
Rap is a favourite, and the new cover of that with Jean Julien's illustration. Focusing on nature is fantastic. Another escape, so it goes, Appartamento, we've got a wide range.
All that and much more besides today on The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print industry review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to The Stack here on Monocle 24. I'm Tyler Berlin. Today we're coming to you from our very own summer fair here at Midori House in the heart of London. Now, as the stall holders are putting the finishing touches on their displays and our animal friends are at the petting zoo, which is just across from us here. It's going to sound a little bit like Noah's Ark, I believe. They're settling into their pens. We'll be reviewing some titles with a couple of very qualified guests. Now, after a stint at the offices of the China Daily in Beijing, Stuart Kemble decided to take his journalistic career to sea, and for the last 8 years, he's been in the boating media sector and is now the editor of the UK's market leader, Boat International magazine. This weighty monthly is the flagship of an independent media group and has numerous international editions, including Brazil and Russia. Now, also, as you heard a little bit earlier, Mr. Jeremy Leslie, a firm friend of The Stack, is here, not just in the capacity, of course, to review magazines, but is also going to be dashing off in about 26 minutes' time to man his very own stand here as well. So if you're in London or but maybe within the sort of 2 hours flying time or maybe 1 hour by sea, do drop in. Anyway, gentlemen, hello to Jeremy, hello to Stuart. Welcome, guys. Very good to see you.
Morning. Good morning.
Great to be here.
I wanted to start, and just before we went on air, Stuart, I was saying I was up in this Baltic North Sea world a little bit earlier in the week and was going down the Kiel Canal and went by these amazing dry docks that belong to Lursen. Now, some people who are maybe familiar with very, very large yachts will know that, you know, probably for many, this is a bit of a mess. If anyone sort of dreams about having anything longer than probably 100 meters or something, this is the place that you go. And, you know, of course, people sort of zipping around major airports around the world will know your very handsome border that you have for your magazine. Sort of, it's always there, you know, nice navy blue. You can't miss it. And there is always a very large gin palace coming out of the off your front cover. Just, you know, the state of this market right now, you know, sometimes you sort of wonder that, you know, at a time when, of course, people are not actively out buying, you know, boats that are, or ships that are sort of, you know, bigger than 50 meters, is it always, you know, pretty stable? Because if you can't afford them, of course, you want to, there's that sort of almost pornographic quality of just wanting to sort of luxuriate over the pages. And then at the other side, of course, when the market is good and people think, oh, you know, it's time to refit our boat or it's maybe time to trade up, but it still does well. Is it always reasonably bulletproof for you?
It is more or less bulletproof, much more so than the magazines that cover boats, smaller boats in a smaller segment. Because these guys, they're just more insulated. They have bigger bank balances, therefore they're less affected. I mean, that's not to say there weren't a few dodgy years back from 2008, and it was tough for everyone across the market sector. But Boat International has always maintained a good weight, a good thickness, and has remained the market leader, which we're very lucky to be.
And as I mentioned in the intro, independent company, is does that help? Because, you know, Jeremy knows, you know, we often unpack this topic that, you know, if you're part of a bigger company, if you're part of a bigger media group, you know, oftentimes people are only sort of worried about the market. They've got to, you know, be concerned about, of course, you know, what the analysts are thinking. If you're independent, sometimes if the pockets are a little bit deeper, you maybe don't sort of worry about the various sort of, you know, financial winds of change, because your business is also going to be cyclical as well, especially when you're covering very large ships.
Yes, we're being small also means we can be very nimble, which I came previously from a very big magazine company where that wasn't necessarily the case. So it's really refreshing and fantastic being in an environment where we can change things almost overnight. And it really does feel like that at Boat International. The winds of change are blowing through the title, and there's some very, very exciting times ahead for the magazine.
We'll come back to that because you've teased us before we went on air. Jeremy, a bit of a new territory for you because you bring out lots of titles. I haven't seen anything sort of dedicated to maybe nice small rowboats on your stand before. Just being introduced to this, what do you make of this world?
Well, it's not a world I know at all, either in the real world in terms of sailing or yachting or motorboating, but in terms of magazines, I don't know. I'm aware of it, and I'm aware it's a very popular. I know that on newsstands there's a huge range of these magazines, both from here in the States and Europe. They are relatively small magazines in the sense of the audience, but I think they engage a very passionate audience. People, I've got friends who are very into sailing, and they're very, very, very keen on it, and they read everything. They can't get enough of it, so I understand the passion for it.
I was going to say, isn't there? There's a certain fantasy to all of this, because, and there's some titles that we'll get into in a moment. One of my favorite is on the table, which is Yacht Capital from Italy, which is great because they do these amazing cutaways of incredible yachts, and they talk about, of course, all of the various, wonderful harbors you can go to around the world, and it really sort of, looks at the development of this entire sector. And yeah, and there's a certain fantasy about it. I would, of course, I would love to commission, a large vessel, at some point. And that's sort of part of that dream component to it. Do you think that publishers and maybe sometimes advertisers almost sort of overlook in that desire to, have as many eyeballs on the sector as possible? They sort of forget the importance of the association of this sector as well as, whether you're an advertiser, and the importance of the audience as
well. I think, well, to be honest, I mean, coming to this relatively blind, but looking through the stat we have in front of us, I'm not sure they do overlook it. I mean, certainly looking through Boat International, it's working in a very, clearly very healthy advertising market compared to what this kind of suffering that a lot of the market has been having. It looks to me like people well understand the luxurious nature and the wealth of this market. So it looks to me like it's a very successful market.
Mm. And so tell me, interesting that you've been in the sector for a while, and then you end up as the editor of Boat International. So within your sector's terms, is that a little bit like, you might have been at Red magazine, or it might have been that you were at maybe the French edition of Elle, but suddenly you get the call to go to American Vogue? Is that kind of close in terms of, some type of parallel?
There's some parallel there, yeah. I mean, it is the magazines, the best magazine covering the biggest boats in the world. So it really is the world's flagship title for superyacht. So it is a great honor to be the editor of the magazine. And I started my career on boat magazines in the smaller sector, then I moved up again, and now I've moved up again. So there's actually nowhere for me to go anymore. So I feel like I've reached the top of the boating world, which is absolutely brilliant. I'm loving every second of it.
And in the same way that, if you would have, of course, an editor-in-chief. Let's say you're looking at an Anna Wintour-style, figure in the fashion sector. If you call up FedShip, if you call up Wally, or any of the major players in the super yacht territory, they take your call right away. They want to make sure that they're going to sort of let you in behind the dry dock and sort of see the vessel.
Yeah, well, we have great relationships with all the yards, FedShip and Wally that you mentioned, and many of the others. But it's often the owner. These yachts are built under strict confidentiality agreements. So it's as much as the yard would often like to publicize the yacht because they want to be in Boat International because we present it beautifully and write about it very well. It is tricky often because the owner doesn't want to be seen, and particularly now, more so now than certainly before everything went wrong. People are much more careful about conspicuous displays of wealth, and so they're much more circumspect about how they're presented in titles like ours. But we do have a great relationship with many, many owners as well, so we've maintained that to a degree. We still have a lot of owner contact, we have a lot of owner comment in the magazine, and we always try and get them into the feature where we can.
Jerry, you in front of you on the table, you've got a copy. It's the 104th edition of Mare magazine. This magazine is a title which has come up on the show a couple of times. German, and it just focuses on all things on sea or on lake. And I think you know, many shows back, we commented they once did an incredible issue which was just about landlocked Switzerland, but landlocked Switzerland's relationship. You know, whether it's from the Rhine River and all of the lakes in the country, but it's I would almost say it's almost like a little bit of like a National Geographic in some sense, and maybe that's doing a little bit of a disservice. And I'm just wondering, from a design point of view, your views on it and what you make of the title.
Well, it's interesting to move the discussion to design, because there's a degree of sameness to a lot of the boating magazines we're looking at here. Whereas this one stands out immediately for having an illustrated cover. It's a very satisfying sort of painting of Jacques Cousteau, which I guess is very much their kind of hero figure. I like the magazine. As ever, I'm not reading German, but it feels strong. It looks good. There's a nice mix of historic photography.
Mm.
There's a lot of words, and they. I mean,
the Germans, yeah, the Germans, they like a word or two.
They're long words, but yeah. they'll use a lot of them as well. No, it's good. It's an interesting magazine. If I'm honest, I don't know, but I would like to revisit.
I would from a commercial point of view. I just wanted to look at boats for a moment, and it's a very fine vessel on the cover. When you open up the magazine, actually, just the ads alone. A great Blohmann Voss, something which almost looks a little bit like a submarine, just with the superstructure and certainly the way the bow of the sort of inverted bow that this ship has. And then you go to having, let's say, the likes of Admiral. Then you see, you know, there's an ad for Embraer. Then you've got Loro Piana, of course, you know, now owned by LVMH, a very, very big player also in the yacht and interior sort of fabric section. You know, for you, how much of your role as well, when certainly in a very sort of cyclical market like this, how much does the role of editor also involve not just being good at the shipyards to from a coverage point of view, but also from an advertising point of view as well?
It's hugely important, and it can be quite delicate. I mean, it's we've got a great relationship with our advertisers, but there are expectations, and they have to be managed sometimes. But that's always a discussion we have in-house, and it's not something I can escape or excuse myself from. I have to be involved in those discussions, and I'm happy to be. It's a balancing act always. But we obviously, they don't direct editorial, and that has to be understood always. But, you know, if they've got a great product, we'll give it lots of pages, and it's as simple as that. It's often said in boat magazines, you don't go out to test bad boats, and I think that's probably true throughout the sector. If it's worthy, it gets the pages, and the advertiser is happy. But there is still a considerable wall, I would say, between the money spent and the editorial coverage. I mean, right. They aren't directly reflective.
No. There's some other titles from the sector, I guess some also from maybe the old port where you used to operate as well. Maybe just talk us through some of if you're really at sort of the pinnacle of the sector, where is also, let's say, the real sort of sweet spot, would you say? Is there also sort of a mass component to the yacht and sailing sector? And of course, they're probably, or let's say powerboat and sailing sector, they're probably quite distinct. But something which is almost that entry level where a lot of people sort of gravitate towards, at least out of the titles we have in front of us here.
Well, that's IPC Media have really got that sector sewn up. They have... A good number of boating titles. One I used to work on is called Motorboat and Yachting. I used to work on Motorboats Monthly also. Motorboats Monthly is the entry-level title, and then Motorboat and Yachting is more for your millionaires and boats for your billionaires. I guess that's a decent way of scaling it. And they've also, on the sailing side, there's Practical Boat Owner, Yachting Monthly, Yachting World. So they really do cover everything. And they've also got a superyacht title called Superyacht World. And so IPC really have got a good hold on the nautical sector, but we fortunately have the hold on the top of it.
Can I ask something? I mean, as Tyler mentioned, they obviously, we're talking a lot about the advertising, the product, and the heroes and all the covers are the boats themselves. And there's a lot of that and a lot of inside new products. Do you talk about the experience of sailing and the enjoyment of sailing as well? Is there a kind of personal, kind of experiential side as well?
Yeah, absolutely is. That's a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. The boats are beautiful, but they're much more, they're animated by their owners. And I think it's really important to get that comment in. And again, in motorboat and yachting, for instance, it was very easy to get an owner to talk about his boat and his progression up through the boat to the 80-footer or 90-footer or whatever he's running now. Getting the owner of a 120-meter super yacht to talk is very difficult. So that's a challenge. And they often won't be named. You have to say the owner said, et cetera, et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
Right.
But even then, I think that's better than nothing. And it's great having that comment in there. But yeah, the experiential side is incredibly important. We always try and get that in. Yeah.
You're listening to The Stack here on Monocle 24. We're going to take a very short break. Summer Fair getting underway here at Midori House, London. Short break. We're back after this.
Ahoy there, all aboard the good ship Monocle as we set sail for our third annual summer fair. We'll be docking at Midori House for a weekend of seafaring adventures with some of our favourite nations, retailers and delicacies on board. Crew members include Gestalten, President Correct, Damsel and Slate, The Farmer's Line and many more. Plus we'll have deckside jazz, yacht rock and ship-shape aperitifs. You can try your hand at the tombola and your young sailors can be the animals at our onboard zoo. We set sail at 11 in the morning and return to dock at 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. So pull on your dress whites and come cruising at the Monocle Summer Fair on the 14th and 15th of June. Land ho!
Welcome back to The Stack here on Monocle 24. You're with me, Tyler Brulé, and also my guest today, Jeremy Leslie of Mag Culture Magazine and Stuart Campbell from Boat International. Jeremy, of course, is also running a stand, and you'll hear some unusual sounds in the background, a few piggies and some lambs. We've got some goats across from us. Summer Fair starts in about 11 minutes here in London. That's 1100 UK or British summertime. And I was just going to say, Jeremy, just before we jump into the program, maybe it would just be good to talk a little bit about what's on display. You've been at every summer fair, every Christmas market that we've done till now. So what's on the table today?
On the Mag Culture table?
On the Mag Culture table.
It's a very timely fair because there's a whole load of new issues of some of our favourites have just been released. So we've got the Gourmand, beautiful food magazine, food and culture. We've got the new issue of Appartamento, which is as enjoyable as ever, insight into a creative milieu.
And it's a bit of a thumper, I think it must
It's a biggie. It's a heavyweight buster. Gourmand, we've got the last few issues of the first copy of Ripos, the woman's magazine, which is a lovely magazine, interesting magazine. They're working on their second one, it's about to come out now. And there's a good selection across the board.
Right.
We were hoping to have the new colours, which is a fantastic issue to coincide with the World Cup, but unfortunately that's got stuck in the postal system from Italy. But I'd recommend this search out colours, the football special.
Good. Well, I'm sure we'll be chatting to you a little bit more today and probably sort of dipping in and seeing directly what's on the table. Stuart, is this the most important time of year for you? Hopefully it'll turn into a summery day in London, but it's not raining, so that's not so bad. And we don't have jackets or rain slickers on right now. But, is it the June issue? Is it your sort of, big summer number that's where the advertising money goes, that's where the pages are? Or is it actually the reverse? Is it more wintertime and you're dictated to by the Genoa Boat Show or any of the major fairs?
We are very much dictated to by the major shows. The Monaco Yacht Show is it
for you?
That is the big one. That's Oscars.
Right.
But we also run World Super Yacht Awards. That is the Oscars. The Monaco Yacht Show is the one everyone's at. And that's in September, and that's the big, big show. And everyone, of course, wants to be in that issue because it sells big numbers and the advertising follows. And, it's a big issue. Really big issue.
And nevertheless, though, I can imagine then you have to maybe also change the pitch slightly as well because, your magazine is obviously going to be sort of loaded on lots of super yachts, which are darting around or sort of leisurely, drifting along the coasts of the Mediterranean, and that lifestyle component. And sometimes when I see you see people on aircraft picking up your magazine, there is. Your title is also then complemented, of course, by people reading the news weeklies. And, of course, as you're saying, you've got a lot of billionaires or even aspiring billionaires who can still afford a decent size boat. So they have, of course, they're the affiliated titles that they want to read. And a lot of them are sort of lifestyle titles as well. You've got a component of it in the magazine. Is there sort of a push or desire to maybe move into that space even more?
Very much so. There's not enough of a luxury and lifestyle element to the magazine. That's changing. We are redesigning the magazine and repositioning it slightly. Our October issue will be a very, very big one for that. It's going to look beautiful, different paper stock. It's going to be a bit bigger. There's lots of secrets I could tell you, but I might get in lots of trouble.
Well, you can come back in September or whenever the issue is out.
Yeah, that'd
be great. Give us a preview of what's happened.
But we're expanding the editorial coverage of the magazine. We're adding dedicated luxury lifestyle elements with some big-name columnists. It's very exciting. That is to offer a kind of a more 360-degree magazine for the super yacht owner, because these guys are real enthusiasts. They love it, but they also live the lifestyle. And at the moment, that's not really catered for in the magazine. And so we were fortunate enough to attract some new investment back end of last year, and that gave a jolt to the magazine. It's really energized everyone in this to push for this new redesigned Boat International.
And do I hear a whiff of also wanting to maybe, of course, expand your advertising base and maybe also appeal to the wives and girlfriends? I mean, not to be overly sexist about it, but also to those owners as well.
Yeah, of course, there's an element of that. Yeah, I mean, it's we want those big luxury lifestyle advertisers. Of course we do.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it. And we also want the wives to pick up the magazine as well, because at the minute it's very much targeted. It's a very much enthusiasts magazine.
Right.
I mean, that's what these guys are. I mean, they do run huge boats, but they love the subject matter. They love boats. They love seeing what other people are doing with their boats. I love seeing interiors, master cabins, et cetera, et cetera. But it's about making it a more kind of holistic offering for the super yacht family, I guess, and getting the wife picking it up and whoever else it might be. Yeah, that's important to us, in basically making it a longer read.
Jeremy, I'm not sure if you're frowning or not, but do you think it's okay to sort of move in the direction of lifestyle, or do you hear that time and again that so many titles want, of course, expand their advertising base, which, of course, there's nothing wrong with that.
We've all heard that a million times, absolutely, but I wasn't frowning. I was nodding avidly. I think, I mean, it seems to me, as I said earlier, that there's a sameness to what a lot of the magazines we're looking at here, and certainly from Boat International's point of view, there's an obvious space to move into and stand apart, and for the subject matter. And I think you visually and making it more magazine in terms of the feel of the paper and such like, it's a very natural move. I look forward to seeing it. Obvious one.
One thing that's interesting about this sector, you've got guys who are enthusiasts, and of course they want to have the best, satellite systems. They want to have, the most advanced positioning systems, et cetera, the best tenders for their vessel. So they're gadget obsessed. Now, I'm wondering, how does that then translate for you digitally as well? Is this still very, anyone doesn't know the magazine, it is very much a proper glossy, doing it sector justice. But at the same time, other people say, oh, look, I don't want to throw too many things into my tote bag when I get on the ship. I just want the iPad version.
There is an iPad take up. I mean, I think we were just having a quick chat about this before the show, but it's just not been the be all and end all that a lot of people anticipated. It's just the iPad readership is solid, but it's, I think when iPads first hit the scene, people were expecting exponential growth, but that just hasn't happened. And I don't think it's not happened anywhere in the boating sector that I'm aware of. I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I don't think it has. Certainly not amongst the IPC titles, which I know very well as well.
It does seem to me the perfect market to have something useful sat in on the table on the yacht that represents the owner's passion for the subject.
I agree. I mean, It's not the same experience. Yeah. I don't think it's not yet the same experience.
Yeah. I don't want to go too off topic because we could certainly do another 30 minutes on that theme.
Sure.
Do you think we're getting, though, Jeremy, to the point that everyone who is going to download the app, who've wanted to sort of find their place digital, we're kind of there now? I mean, we talk about sort of tablet devices being so new, et cetera. They're not that new anymore. We're coming into sort of 5 years of them. And are we maybe at that point right now where it's going to be flattened out for a little while and something next has to happen for us to see a bit of a jolt?
I think for some time, I mean, even maybe the last 12 months, it's flatlining. I think it's just, it's there's steady some magazines that, where there's a useful strategy behind what they're doing, can take advantage of iPad editions. But largely, the idea that you could just launch an iPad edition and bang, you've got another income stream is a fading memory. It's well, I think we're waiting for the next thing.
And that next thing is, do people still want to be sort of, more dazzled and engaged? Because it's going to be a case of it. Yeah, what can it sort of offer you, beyond the page when you click through, etc. And I guess there has to be that realization still. You hear lots of readers say, I look at a screen all day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people look at paperwork too, but...
There's a place for both forms, and it's important that we retain both forms. But the way forward isn't just launching an iPad app. The way forward is figuring out how to engage with your audience and take advantage of whatever it might be, whether it's Twitter or a website or an iPhone app. This show will be available on an iPhone app. That works really neatly. That's an intelligent way to do it. But a lot of people just stumble into it without really thinking through.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it there here. Of course, at the Summer Fair, Stuart Campbell of Boat International, good luck with the relaunch.
Thank you
very much. Excited to see that. Also, Jeremy Leslie of Mag Culture is going to be running his stand also for not just the rest of the day, but over the course of the weekend. It is indeed the Monocle Summer Fair here at Midori House in London. On until 1700 British summertime here in London today, also running through, right through to end of Sunday as well. Lots of fantastic stands, so please do drop by. Big thanks to our producer for today's show, David Pleasant. Also, our studio manager today was Alex Funnell, ably assisted as well by Sam Impey. My colleague Georgina Godwin is standing by here on deck to take over. She's got the news in about 10 seconds' time. That's all from us here at The Stack. Goodbye.